the collect for this seventh Sunday after Easter. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you give to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord. I am blaming the fact that my voice does not seem to work today on the fact that I went to Anfield in Liverpool yesterday to watch the last home game of Arsenal women. And I may well have shouted a little bit too loud at various points. It was also like winter up there as well, which links very well to the start of my sermon. Because on Wednesday evening, I was also watching Arsenal women play football at the Emirates Stadium. All day, if you remember the weather on Wednesday, all day the Arsenal supporters WhatsApp group had just been constant weather updates as to what the weather was doing from various places where people were travelling from. The weather here in Kimpton was blue sky one moment, followed by torrential rain the next, and even, I believe, some thunder and lightning. During the match itself, it was the same. It was beautiful blue sky, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, the rain came over. Thankfully, where I sit, I'm undercover. But the rain came down, the sun came up, and of course, there was a rainbow. And I thought, oh, that would make a good picture. Picture of a rainbow going across the top of the stadium. That would look lovely. Rummaged around in my bag to try and find my phone to take a picture. By the time I'd found my phone, looked back up, rainbow had just about disappeared and had gone. And I sat there going, oh, can you still see it? Can I take, no, that's not going to come out as a picture. So I turned my attention back to the game at hand, of which we won both games, in case you're interested. The writer of Acts, Luke, is the only gospel writer to include an extended resurrection appearances and narrate the ascension of Jesus twice. We have an account at the end of Luke to conclude his gospel. And this, for Luke, is a culmination of the story of Jesus and his obedience to God. In Acts, at the very beginning, we have another account of the ascension, which kind of sets the scene for the book of Acts and tells the beginning of the story of the church. We need to remember that in this account of the ascension is that those who witness it are the same disciples and followers who spent 3 years thereabouts with Jesus, travelling around with him, saw people be healed, and heard of God's new reign that was coming. They were with Jesus when he entered into Jerusalem to cheering, to acclaim, only to see him then arrested and taken to die on a cross, and then for him to be placed in a tomb. They're the same disciples who heard him from various accounts that Jesus was no longer dead. The same disciples that Jesus appeared to show him his wounds. The same disciples who then had Jesus appear to them over a 40-day period, teaching them about the kingdom of God. This group of disciples are not the same people as when Jesus first called them to follow him. They have suffered a great loss. They've lived through some deeply traumatic experiences, and they've been changed and reshaped by those experiences, just as we are in life. Good and bad experiences change us. They reshape us. The disciples can't go back to how things were because their experiences with Jesus has changed them. What they have witnessed, they will now become the witnesses too. And as much as they may have wished that Jesus could stay with them here on earth forever, Jesus' time was up, and there was no going back to how things used to be. They are now the witnesses. Witnesses to what they've seen and heard, and the true nature of who Jesus is. The Messiah that was hoped for was one that would come and overthrow the Romans, but that never happened. And we heard in the Acts reading, there's still that kind of nostalgia within the historical Israeli nation at that point about the power that the ancient kings used to have. But that will not be the power that drives the disciples forward. Instead, something new will be given to them to move them out into the world with a message of love and hope. The power that they will receive is the power of God through the Holy Spirit, which we'll celebrate next week at Pentecost. And this account of the ascension, where it's portrayed that the disciples are there standing, looking upwards to the sky, watching as Jesus rises on a cloud, we're told. At which point, two men in our reading suddenly appear in white robes and ask, "What are you doing? Why are you looking up to heaven?" It's a bit like the rainbow story I told at the beginning. It's easy to stare at where something has happened and get lost in trying to see what's going on or where that image has disappeared to. And in that kind of very short sentence of two men turning up and going, "What are you looking for?" there are echoes of the women at the tomb who look for Jesus after his death, but are told he's not here. Are they being told to go and prepare for what is to come and stop hanging around the place where Jesus was taken back to heaven? Was there a temptation by the followers to build a marker at that place so that others may know what had happened and taken place? But what does happen is they return to Jerusalem. What they didn't do is just stand and watch the spectacle that had just taken place and miss out on what was to come, the Holy Spirit. There's always that danger when something truly amazing happens or something dramatic that we just stand and we stare. We can't move our gaze from what is happening. We become spectators. The event consumes us, but we just are looking. As always with God's story, it isn't just about witnessing what has just happened, but it's about going out and telling others about it too. As I was reading this back through this morning, I was reminded of our Easter Day service, which none of you probably remember anything I said during that service, and that's fine. But the message was, come see, go tell. And that's what the disciples are now being told to do again. They've seen it. They're invited to come. They saw what happened with Jesus. And now is their time to be witnesses to that. The promise that they're left with as Jesus returns to heaven is one that is that of his return and that of the Holy Spirit. The promise of ascension, writes William Kurtz, is presence. God's promise of being with us on earth through his Holy Spirit. I spoke last week using John's term of the advocate for the Holy Spirit, that when we are at work in the world, we have God's power and presence with us to help us and to guide us in all that we do. So this week, let us not be spectators watching the world happen around us, but let us be the witnesses to the power of God in our lives. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ, who out of defeat brings new hope and a new future, fill you with his new life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.